This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And I shared it with one of my childhood friends' wife. She said, "Is this finally the pop-up shop? Are you finally cooking for us? Are you cooking soul food for us?" And I was like, "What? No, but close." So yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm really happy to be here. I was here last month, I had a great time, alhamdulillah. So let's jump in. I think a good way to start with the narration is get the vocab down. Again, this is another one of those narrations where we're probably familiar with quite a few words if we just kind of push ourselves a little bit. Even if you're not used to looking at Arabic and interacting with it, just listening for some words, they'll kind of stand out to you. There is also a typo in this website. Yeah. But la yahillu. So yahillu, another word that you might know that's of a similar root is the word halal. Right? Everyone knows the word halal means permissible. This is the verb form of that. Okay, so it's not permissible or it's not appropriate. Li mu'minin, for a mu'min, a believer, right? An yahjura akhahu. We may not know the word yahjura, but another word that's with the same root would be the word hijra, right? Hijra is kind of the thing we think of is when the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, but to migrate or to leave or to abandon something. Akhahu, akh means brother, so it's not permissible, it's not appropriate for a believer to abandon his brother. Fawqa thalathata ayyam, or fawqa, does that say, yeah, thalathata ayyam. Fawqa literally means above, but here means for more than 3 days, okay? Or three days it says here. Some narrations say 3 nights. Honestly, if you start reading like books of explanation, you have to realize those people writing those are kind of like nerds, right? They're like digging deep into each word and why is it here? Sometimes they forget, like if you and I read it, it would be like, okay, why are we talking about the 3 nights part of this narration? Like the rest of it, there's a lot to unpack, but they have long discussions like, is it 3 full nights and 3 full days? Is it just don't do it more than 3 days? Okay, like 4 days, fine. But so the narration is not really about the number, but the principle here is really important. And I think one of the big takeaways you'll probably take from all of these narrations that you guys go through at Soul Food is that Islam teaches us balance, right? It's teaching us how to avoid extremes. So what it's telling us is no matter what conflict happens, whatever happens between you and someone else, you're not allowed to abandon them completely for more than 3 days, okay? Meaning you can't just cancel people out of your life, all right? Maybe that's a word we need to kind of internalize because I mean, you guys are maybe young, but if you keep doing that in your life, when you're a little bit older in 5-10 years, there won't be anyone around you. There won't be anyone left. Because if every person I disagree with, every person I have a conflict with, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not talking to that person anymore. I'm not interacting with that person anymore. That is going to keep happening in life. It's part of life. And if that is your approach to disagreement and situations of conflict, you're going to do that with every single person. There is not going to be, and rather there should not ever be any relationship where there's no conflict. There will always be conflict. Your best friend, you will disagree with them. You will fight with them sometimes, all right? Just look into family. Your most beloved people, your parents, your siblings, people literally have known you when you couldn't eat, wash yourself, you couldn't do anything. These people took care of you and you can fight with them. Right? It's normal. That's part of life. What we're learning is the limit. Just because you have a disagreement, you're not allowed to start canceling people out of your life. Like the life you will have if you keep doing that, if this becomes your pattern, is not a pleasant life. And Islam is giving us that balance. All right. And what's interesting here is in other narrations, the narration actually continues. Okay. This is one part of it, but under other narration, it continues. يَلْتَقِيَانِ فَيَصُدُّ هَذَا وَيَصُدُّ هَذَا. So he says, these two people who have kind of like canceled each other, you can say, when they meet one another, this one is avoiding him, that guy's avoiding him. You guys see each other at an event, you're like, oh, I'm going to sit on that side. I don't even want to have to come face to face with this person. I don't want to have to talk to them. I don't have to say Saddam. The other person's thinking the same thing. You think you're the only one thinking, the other person's doing the same thing on the other side of the room. Right, that's what the hadith is talking about. And then the Prophet ﷺ tells us, وَخَيْرُهُمَا الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ, that the best of those two people who are kind of avoiding each other is the one that breaks this cycle and says salam, the first one to say salam, the first one to initiate connection again with that person, okay? Now, I do want you to kind of understand a few things related to this narration. We are given 3 days. So you're allowed to be fully human, feel all your feels for 3 days. You're angry, you're raging. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I get really angry, I like still feel it the next day in my body. Like, I'm still like, why do I feel off? I'm not angry anymore, but the impact of the anger from the previous day or from earlier in the day, I still feel it in my body. It has an impact on me. And Islam is saying, feel your feelings. 3 days, go ahead. You're still upset. You're still angry. Day one has gone. Night one, day one. Night two, day two. You can do your night and day count however you want, okay? 3 days, experience all your feelings. Do what you want. But remember that any emotion, good or bad, left unchecked is problematic. If you're feeling good and you're always feeling good, there's a problem, right? A lot of psychological illnesses are diagnosed by people not feeling the right emotions at the right time. If we always felt good, the guy who's like, oh, there was a terrible tragedy, he's like, ha, ha, ha. You're like, whoa, that's not a normal response, right? Any emotion to its extreme is problematic. And we're learning here, feel your feelings, feel the anger, feel the rage, but it can't consume you. It can't become part of your life now. After 3 or 4 days, you need to step out of that. You need to work towards resolution, okay? Now, I will kind of also address the other side, because there's other narrations that tell us, so we're getting one extreme defined for us. You can disagree with someone, but don't let that disagreement turn into hatred. Don't start canceling people, okay? Hatred, and honestly, if you harbor hatred in your heart, again, it's one of those things, you're going to feel the impact of it. The other person is not affected by you. They literally are sleeping like babies, and you're like, oh, I really don't like, they're living their best life. They're like asleep, you know, and you're just like, can't sleep. You're ruining your life over harboring that hatred, right? So Islam is telling you, don't hold grudges. Don't let this be a part of your life for more than 3 days. Work towards resolving it, okay? It's just not good for you. Now, on the other side, what happens, though, if someone legitimately wronged you? Is the hadith telling you, no, you now have to go be friends with that person who did a terrible thing to you? And the reality is, no, it's not saying that. And I think the continuation of the narration provides us with those boundaries. Someone used the word boundaries, and this narration does a beautiful job of defining those, right? The other narration I cited that tells us the resolution, the two people meet, they're avoiding each other. The best of those two is the one that says salam. Now, saying salam to someone, does that take a lot? Does it take a lot for me to meet someone and say salam alaikum? And that's it. Does that mean we're like, every person you say salam to, you're best friends for life? It happens when you're like 4. You're like, salam alaikum, we're best friends now. I'm like, I'd see my nephews do this all the time. I'm like, okay, that's really interesting. But it doesn't really work that way, right? So we're learning the limits are, you can't just cut people out of your life. You can't just cancel other Muslims. You can't just start creating this category of, there's not just two categories in the world. People I get along with, people I like, people I disagree with are now canceled. These cannot be the only two categories in life. There's another category that already exists in everyone's life, which is like, I don't even know who this person is. They're other. I don't know how I feel about them yet. I haven't sorted them into two categories yet. You're allowed to have another category of, this is someone I've interacted with. They've wronged me. They've hurt me. It wasn't a pleasant experience. I am going to put them in a different category, but I'm not canceling them. They're still humans. They're still believers. They're still Muslims. There are bare minimum rights that they will get from me. I will say salam to them when I see them. Does that mean I have to go to their house and spend 5 hours talking to them? Absolutely not. Someone wronged you, you have the right to establish boundaries. You're not asked to go ahead and now everything has to be the way that it was. And of course, things are different if it's family and other situations, because the rights, there's a few more rights there, right? For a Muslim that's not related to you, there's some baseline rights. For family, it's a little bit more. You have to navigate those. But again, you don't have to love everyone. You don't, it's, the world's not Barney, all right? I love you, you love me. Do you guys know what that is? Please tell me.
Yes.
Someone said no. Come on, you know what part is. Big purple dinosaur. Okay, so, yeah, I love you, you love me. That you don't have to be that way with everyone. You can set boundaries. You're allowed to say, no, this person wronged me, or every time I see this person, they make it a point to make me feel a certain way. They put me down every time I meet them. You're allowed to establish your boundary. You're allowed to limit your interaction with them. What you're not supposed to do is, this person makes me feel this way. I'm never ever talking to them ever again. I don't want to even see their face. You see the difference? You're being taught, we're being taught as believers, how to set healthy boundaries with people around us. And I think there's another beautiful narration here, another narration of the Prophet ﷺ that kind of helps us with this. The Prophet ﷺ says, "La yuldaghu al-mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratain." That a believer, he doesn't get stung from the same hole or the snake hole twice. That means is, if you were in a situation, you were hurt, you were wrong, terrible things happened to you, you should in fact avoid that in the future. Don't put yourself in that situation. That doesn't make you a good believer. Just because, oh no, but I need to, 3 days are over, we need to become best friends again. You absolutely do not. That's not a mandate. However, you should give basic Muslim rights, should be there for the person if they're in need, if they request your help, and you're able to help without compromising yourself, you should do that. Saying salam, fundamental right, you should do that. Anything you can do within healthy boundaries, you should do that. But it doesn't mean you need to compromise your well-being, all right? And that's a beautiful caveat that we see in the explanation to this narration. The scholars say, all of this is true, but the thing that is most important is your deen, literally your soul, we're talking about soul food, your nafs, your soul is really valuable and beautiful and you should take care of it. If there's a toxic relationship, if there's a friendship, if you have been friends with someone for 7 years, 8 years, and now it's becoming toxic, it's starting to affect your life, it's okay to move on from that. It's part of growing up. It's okay to have less interaction with people you used to have more interaction with, because we're all growing. And as you grow, you may drift apart or the relationship changes a little bit, and that's totally fine. Because as you grow apart, you can limit your interaction. Again, just don't cancel people. Does that make sense? All right. One last thing I'll say, and this is kind of related to, I think, you know, this is a college program, but just, I think Saad Safi can speak to this as well. But I think this is something at this age you're going to start experiencing a lot more. In college, you'll have friends that were your best friends. You probably already felt it transition from high school to college. In high school, you had a crowd. You were maybe a different person also. We're all changing all the time. You had a crowd, you had people around you, and it was probably great, or maybe it wasn't. And if you need to protect yourself and you need to protect your soul, even you need to protect your worldly life. What if you're in a situation where someone is like leeching off of you and scamming you? You can't even live your life. That's a real situation as well. You can protect yourself. You're allowed to do that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But as you grow, it's okay to drift apart from other people. And that's a natural part of life. It's happened with me. Saad Safi can speak to that. Anyone, you guys have probably experienced that if you think about it, right? When you were in high school, there were certain friends. It was great. You grow up, you drift apart a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you ever see them again, 5 years, 10 years later, just because you drifted apart doesn't mean you're enemies, right? That still was your friend. You had good times together. You exchanged salam. How are you? Good. You don't have to go to dinner with them unless you want to. Unless, again, if it's going to affect you, if you think it's going to negatively impact your soul or your life, you don't have to do that. You just have to maintain those basic rights that are due. And again, define your limits, okay? And the hadith is giving us those limits. The lower limit was, the bare minimum you should do is say salam. If you can say salam to someone, that's pretty good. The problem is, and all of y'all got family, right? Family is just like, they did this to us 17 years ago to the day. It's like a memorial. You're like, why are the calendars marked? Why are we like celebrating kind of this day? 17 years ago, they did this. We don't talk to them. We don't look at them. And you're like, what? And that's what this hadith is preventing. And you see the effects of that. You can talk to them. You should at least have a base. Salam, you good? We good? Cool. We don't have to talk for hours. Quick check-in. Hey, are you okay? Good. I'm good. Okay. Check-in once a year, not every year on that date. I don't know. I don't want to get into details, but it could get real dark. But you get the idea. So that was all the points that I had for today. Again, it's easier, as Usatsav was saying before, it's easier said than done. Like, we all understand this. When we have to put it into practice, it's going to be way harder, right? When you have to reassess your relationships in your life, reassess friendships, reassess your groups, it's going to be very difficult. I don't mean to, like, sugarcoat it or be like, it's easy, yeah. You're outgoing your friends, just do it. It's hard. It's hard, but in all of that, remember the most important thing should be your soul, your deen, right? Your relationship with Allah should be at the top. If someone is ruining that and compromising that, you need to prioritize that above everything else. And if it's affecting you in a worldly sense, like, a very good example is, like, you're in college and these friends are ruining your college experience. You're like, grades are suffering. Your future might be affected. You should change that. It's so obvious when it's over there. You're like, yeah, I'm trying to get a good job. But when it comes to, like, our hereafter or our relationship with Allah, it's not so obvious. And it's hard. It's not going to be easy. And that's why these kinds of groups are very important, where you can talk about it, right? We're all going through. That's the beauty of kind of the human experience. We're all going through a similar experience. Like, you can talk to someone of any age. Like, I could talk to my mom and she'll have something to relate to this with a friend or someone. It's a reality that we all experience. And the Prophet is kind of putting that right at the front. He's making us think about all of those things.
I
forgot my favorite quote. Sorry.
Don't do it.
So my name is Ubaydullah. I was called Obi-Wan a lot growing up. So of course there's a great Obi-Wan line here, which is, only a Sith deals in absolutes. You guys don't watch Star Wars.
No?
Only a Sith deals in absolutes. I appreciate that. She said she wishes you watched Star Wars for this moment. So only a Sith deals in absolutes, meaning either friend or enemy. Those are the only, it's actually in response to that. He's like, if you're not with me, then you're my enemy. And Obi-Wan's like, dude, that's not how life works. They can be friends, enemies, and a whole lot in the middle there. Don't deal in absolutes. And then this statement gets a lot of hate because technically it's an absolute statement, but we're not going to get into that, okay? We're not going to dissect that right now.
The delivery was beautiful. It's like he was waiting for this moment.
He was ready. Sorry, I didn't make it into my talk. You know? It was supposed to. Didn't quite make it.
Anybody have any questions, comments, any reflections on your side as well that you'd like to share as well? This is also really like Ustad kind of was mentioning, that it's a very relatable topic. You know, there are certain topics, especially like in the spiritual religious realm, where it's like sometimes hard to relate to, right? Like, we talk about like Salah and getting up in the middle of the night. You're like, well, I don't really know about that one. It's like, yeah, trying to struggle with the five, one day, inshallah. But I mean, this is something that like everyone kind of goes through in their life if you've ever met another human being. Right. And these things kind of exist, whether you like it or not. Right. So anyone have any sort of questions? Yes, go for it. Yeah.
Question, not a concern. Mm-hmm. So let's say this thing does happen and, you know, both people get canceled from both sides. You put this talk into practice and you try and reconcile, but the other person is still pretty intent on keeping you canceled. Are you just allowed to like chill with rest of your life?
I mean, I don't know about rest of your life, but I think you're just responsible for your effort. You have to try. If you tried and you think you tried sufficiently, that's your responsibility. We're not responsible for other people's actions. We can't be. Imagine we were. We had control. It would not be fair at all. That's an interesting point in general, that you're not responsible for other people's actions. A lot of times parents feel that about their kids sometimes. Like, man, I tried, but my kid's doing everything. Even parents, you're not responsible for your siblings. You're not responsible for your friends. Yes, you have a responsibility to advise, to do whatever you can, if you can, all right? Again, don't go around advising everybody if you're not in that position. But if you can, you have responsibility, but you do not have responsibility for someone else to act. They have to choose to act. You know, the Seth Murphy was just mentioning this the other day. Like, the rule about therapy is that someone has to choose to be there. You can't force someone to benefit from therapy unless they want to be there. If they want to be there, they might benefit. If they don't want, you cannot trick someone into therapy like, ha, you're on the couch. There's a man here. Like, you come home from school and like, hey, sit here. And you like sit down, light turns on, guy sitting in the chair. So, like, that's not, you're not allowed to do that. Okay? It just doesn't work. It's not effective. So same thing here is you're not responsible for their actions. You're responsible for yours. And if you tried, it's the best you can do. Would I say you're good for the rest of your life? I don't know. If the opportunity presents itself again, maybe try again. But you also don't have to like make it your life's mission now. Like until this person is happy with me, I will not stop. That's also not a healthy habit.
Yeah, that's really important. There's actually a narration on Life of the Process and where it's a beautiful kind of like, it's a long narration, but I mean, the essence of it is that there was a man who walked by the Prophet and he was with the other companions of his, and he said that this man is basically guaranteed paradise. And the companions never like saw anything like utterly like special about him. They're like, oh, he just looks like the rest of us. He's walking around and he's just kind of like doing his thing. And so this man, he goes and like observes this guy. Like, it's fascinating, right? The Prophet's going to make such a large statement like he's guaranteed paradise, right? Allah will guarantee for him paradise. There must be something that he does that's like absolutely just phenomenal, right? And he observed this man for days and he was like, there's nothing he does that's like unique, right? It's
he
not like
snuck into his house.
Yeah, like he literally like made up an argument, stuck into his house.
Man, I need to stay with you.
He's like, yo, my mom and I got in an argument, got kicked out. and he saw, he just very normal person. And he goes, what is it that you do? I got a level with you. What is it that you do so special? And he says, you know, I make sure that when I go to sleep at night that I have no animosity in my heart for anybody else, right? That I do what I can to make sure that my heart has a level of sakina in it. Right. And this goes to what Ustad was mentioning is that like, yeah, sure. In your life, may there be other people that have issues with you that you might not know about. Maybe they haven't outwardly addressed it with you. But there's also like he said, like a side that you can control what's in your realm as well. Right. And as long as you know that you can go to sleep at night with the knowledge that, you know what, I've done whatever I could do. Right. My heart rests at peace with this idea that I have, you know, exerted my effort, my energy into making sure that I've covered my side, then now you leave it for the other person to make their move, right? So that's a really good point, actually. That's actually a very relevant point as well, because I think that's pretty relatable to all of us, that there have been, you know, conflicts that we've gone through where we've done whatever we could, but the other person may not be reciprocating it from their side. Aloha.
And one thing I'll add just to that is, you know, a lot of times we talk about it, but it's absolutely a valuable action item is, part of your plan of reconciliation should be obviously talking to the person. Let's say you hit a wall, make dua for that person. That's really bare minimum. It doesn't take effort. It's sincere dua for someone else. And you don't know what will happen down the line. You know, years later, even things can change. But then you've kind of tackled, you've done everything you could.
Anyone else have any questions, comments, concerns?
Not necessarily want to cut out from TV or even have such a relationship with where it's only for now. Yeah, so that's a hard one. It's like you're already in it. How do you get out of it? Like you're in the thick of it. How do you separate? I think this is, you know, I'm just going to speak from my experience. I think one of the things you can do is almost like take your 3 days, not because you're mad or not because you're like, trying to cancel someone, but you're trying to, you need a break. You can't go from like wear biffles to like distance. You can take distance on your own and then reincorporate to your comfort level. But you have to go, you have to almost force yourself to go to zero. And then you get to control how much interaction you reincorporate into your life. It's hard to go from fully incorporated, like where we're going to see each other every minute of every day. And then like, okay, we're going to start cutting back. It's hard to go that way. It's easier to go, oh, I'm busy this weekend, you know, or something like that, or a break or something like that where you don't see someone for a while. And then you reincorporate on your terms and then you get to establish boundaries. And also everyone, you know, I always kind of envy these people. I have a friend who's like super disciplined and like he has no qualms about saying no to things. I feel like we're so scared sometimes to say no. Mm-hmm. You don't have to hang out with someone every time they ask you. You can just say, oh, no, I'm not busy, thank you. Or it's, I'm not busy, thank you. I want to hang out with you. I'm not available, thank you. Maybe next time. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to say yes to every invitation you get to do something. That's a big one. It's a hard one. That's a hard one.
That's really tough. Honestly. Yeah.
I'm just like, I really should sleep today. Okay, let's go. It's hard, but especially in that situation, when you're trying to create the boundary, it's okay. Like, you know, slip away for a few days, but you don't want to go like for too long where someone is now noticing, and then that becomes a whole discussion. You don't really want it to be one. You're like, now it's awkward. You
don't. I think we were talking about this the other day with somebody actually, that it's good in life to set expectations of your relationships with people. You know, I think when somebody expects like the world from somebody else and they don't receive it back, that's usually when people end up getting hurt. You know, it's like your idea of them was like XYZ, but what they can actually offer you is nothing close to it, right? And this is kind of a part of the process of what Asad was mentioning, is that you can just learn along the way, right? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ saying that a believer doesn't get bit in the same area twice or from the same hole twice. It's like you take that and you learn, right? If like a person's given you this kind of sign that like they this is how much I can give you, then you shouldn't go back home and be like, well, now I'm mad at them for like not doing, you know, what I wanted them to do. Well, they never said that they could, you know, like they never said that they would do it. In fact, they may have been giving you very strong hints that like, yeah, I'm not going to be there on Friday, you know, or Thursday or whatever it is. But so then it's up to you at that point to not be angry at them for not for honestly being honest with you, you know, and that goes vice versa as well with you and other people, you know, so. That's something you also learn growing up, is, you know, you kind of like set those boundaries and those expectations of people, I guess. Yeah.
It's hard though.
It's difficult, yeah.
Like, how do you go about not expecting a boundary, especially when it's like family?
It's a really hard one. When you put it in the family context, it's so challenging because this one's, I'll just speak personally, that's the hardest one for me, because we learn about the rights of family, and you're trying to do your best. Like, you really are. You're like, I want to be good, I want to do this. But then you also know you need to establish boundaries. It's a tricky one to navigate. But I really think there, it's hard. And I know every relationship is different, so I don't know, you know, obviously it's different. But I think, as Safi was mentioning, like establishing that clear expectation, almost like one-on-one, trying to have a conversation. And I think specifically with parents, you'd be surprised. I've seen many times with students in the past as well, like maybe they've gone through high school or they're in college, and then they have that kind of mature conversation with their parents about boundaries. And really speaking about it, like you mentioned, from a perspective like of how it makes you feel and your health, right, and well-being. And of course, you know, that's hopefully will open, you know, they'll look at it from that perspective, and they'll actually, in some situations, can really respect the maturity that it takes to be able to have that conversation. Of course, every dynamic is different. I don't know what someone's relationship is with their parents or how the parents react or what kind of dynamic that is. But, you know, obviously I'm speaking of a pretty ideal, you know, textbook ideal situation. Obviously that's often not the case.
Yeah. The family situation is tough. It's very difficult to maneuver. I don't know, there's something maybe Asad Abel can, and you know, share as well. But usually, like as you get older, and this is maybe more applicable with parents. I found out with my parents that it's more about the time that I can spend with them, like maximizing that versus like trying to spend time with them that's like where I'm not really there. You know, like if I go see my parents once or twice a week, I try to make sure that entire hour I'm with them, I'm actually with them, you know, versus going to see them four times a week and I'm just like not really there at all. Like I'm like dead tired. I don't even have any conversations with them. I'm probably on my phone half the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? At least my parents have kind of learned to appreciate that. They're like, oh, we actually know when he's actually like here. There's sometimes where I go there, I'm like, oh, you know, but I'll be kind of like working in and out like while I'm here. And she's like, I can see. And obviously parents will never say that. They're like, oh, why'd you even come? Like they're just happy you're there anyway. But I can tell, like, really from my own awareness that they're way more appreciative when I'm actually there with them. So I think kind of, like, being aware of yourself and how much you can give, even with your parents, right, might be something to look into a little bit.
Also on that note, sometimes explaining the reasons for the boundaries, like I'll give you a scenario, like this is probably a very real scenario for a lot of people. Let's say you have a lot going on this week. It's a hard week. You have finals, you have a lot to study for, there's a lot of deadlines. You know already you're not going to be able to meet certain expectations that maybe parents have or someone else has, right? To communicate that upfront and early and just say like, look, I know I was supposed to do this, or supposed to do this, but I have this exam coming up on this day. I need to study it for here. I have this project. I have this too. I mean, some people overuse this because it's like, okay, really, you don't always have stuff going on. But if you use it honestly, people will respect that. And they'll try to help establish those boundaries and make sure that you're getting the time that you need to take care of what you need to take care of. So I think that communication can helps a lot. Again, every dynamic is different. But it can help.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Questions, comments, reflections, concerns? All right.
It works it in so easily. I still can't get the word reflections in there. Reflections. I'm so programmed for questions, comments, concerns. I really cannot get the word reflections.
You really had to rewire my brain.
It's really hard.
It is really difficult. Inshallah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Jazakallah khairan, guys. Thank you guys for coming. Obviously, we thank Ustaz Abdullah for sharing his time with us as well. Obviously, the Qalam schedule is not easy. It's, you know, it's the weekend though now, right?
It's called on Friday.
It's called on Friday, exactly.
Everyone knows in my family. My cousin would be like, tonight's your Friday night though, right? Like, yeah, but I have to go do this thing. My cousin's at my house right now and he's like, oh, it's your weekend started. I was like, it did, but I'll be right back.
He's like, what? No, I appreciate you guys coming out. Inshallah, we have the last two kind of programs for college students this coming week is basically the bonfire on Saturday, which I believe it's like a ridiculous like capacity. It's like 70-80 people or something like that. So inshallah, make sure if you want to come through Saturday night, make sure RSVP for that so we can kind of take account for everyone who is inshallah going to be showing up. And then next Thursday we have Sheikh Mubin inshallah coming to share some lessons with us as well. So Sheikh Mubin will be here inshallah next Thursday, bonfire on Saturday, and then inshallah everyone knows that we usually call it like a year alhamdulillah at Roots after the break officially starts. We take a couple of, like, around 10 days off from the rest of the year. So, inshallah, enjoy the last couple of weeks here, and then we'll see you all, inshallah, in the new year as well. All right. Jazakallah khairan, everybody. There's food over there for everyone. There's food, drinks. Our brother Hasib over here, mashallah, just ordered pizza for everybody, which was like a really awesome big time move, mashallah. So, enjoy the food over there, and y'all are free to hang out and chill and socialize. All right. Jazakallah khairan, guys. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, the bonfire's here. Is here, yeah, right, right in the middle of the carpet.
Everyone's like, all
the buildings gone. So, we actually got clearance from Ustaz Suhaib. You know the rotunda area outside, like right before you enter, there's like a circular area right outside the parking lot. That's usually where we host it. Yeah, inshallah. So on Saturday, like right here, in the middle.